Welcome to the Human Flourishing Project. I'm Alex Epstein. Today's topic is quite a different topic from pretty much anything I've ever covered, and I'm calling it the danger of moral safety. The danger of moral safety. So let me start off, as I often like to, with an example, and please don't be triggered by the example until you hear the example the whole way through. But I was recently visiting my parents in the DC area and an old friend of mine in the DC area. And I was in the neighborhood and there was something that was very inescapable, which was that there were only Biden-Harris signs very prominently, along with a lot of kind of confident seeming language just everywhere in the neighborhood. And this was true in where I grew up, this neighborhood of Chevy Chase Village. And then a friend of mine, I was visiting him in Bethesda, which isn't too far away. And it's just everywhere. And it just sort of brought to mind this phenomenon where, if I had gone to a different place, you would see it with Trump signs. And what's going on, and particularly just seeing this in the context of observing what happens during elections, is I think there are two aspects, two things that often go on in elections when people are just, you have these in certain places where it's just this unanimous view. And so one that I want to focus on as the primary is that it's totally safe to support the view. It's viewed as obvious. So when you're in Chevy Chase Village, it's just, well, obviously you need to support Biden-Harris. Anything else would be wrong. It's just like, and you know, any good person will do this. And then the other aspect of it, which is related, is that people often spend a huge amount of time talking about it, championing it. It just completely overwhelms people in a way that is hard to justify if you're just thinking about flourishing, particularly if you're thinking about your own life and just thinking about, okay, what can I do? What can I really do in terms of my life, my world, to improve my life? Like, you don't have that much control over this thing. And yet people are spending so much time on it. So what this really brought to mind something I've been thinking about for the past couple of years, which I call moral safety. And I think of moral safety as anything that is an easy way to be seen by oneself or others as a good person. So an easy way to be seen by oneself or others as a good person. And I find that it has this quality. And one thing is people, because it's an easy way, it often gets a lot of time. That is, it's like, oh, well, if this makes me a good person, then there's no limit, almost no limit to the amount of time that I'm justified in spending on this. So just to, you know, give a couple other examples of where this has come up. So you can come up with any, you know, in any, certainly like a polarized election, which is, this definitely is, like any area that's dominantly supporting one or another, it's just seen as, well, that's the morally safe thing to do, to spend all of your time talking about it, stating your positions, being an activist. It's like just considered an unlimited virtue. And then there's, well, the other people are idiots in some way. There's something morally wrong with them. Another example that came up this year was after the death of George Floyd, the Black Square campaign. And please just take this for what I'm trying to isolate. I'm not saying anyone who posted a black square is bad, but I think it has to be undeniable that this posting of a black square was a morally safe thing to do. That is, you put that up, you put that up, and that means you're against racism, you're an anti-racist, and there's an idea, well, if you don't, then maybe you're a racist, and it's just this very safe thing to do. And you notice this, there can be times when it's just convenient to pile on somebody in the culture, like to be against somebody. And then it's just like the morally safe thing to do is say stuff about that. So an example that in one of the communities I'm in, the jiu-jitsu community, I think this is a really unjust example of moral safety, but there's a very successful instructor who used to be an instructor of mine named Lloyd Irvin in the jiu-jitsu community. And there was an accusation of rape against one or two students who had been very new to his school. And sort of long story short, what happened in the jiu-jitsu community for a while is just people, like everybody talked about how, oh, I'm so against rape. And there were a lot of people just assuming that the people, the students accused were bad, and that the teacher, Lloyd Irvin, was bad. And there's just like everyone is using super low standards of evidence to make all of these accusations. But it was just, it had this quality of moral safety. Like at that moment in early 2013, it was just a morally safe thing to do, to proclaim yourself to be against sexual assault, but in a way where you were like mostly thinking, yeah, it's probably, yeah, this guy is probably guilty. His school has probably created a rape culture. There was stuff around that. It was just this incredibly, it had this quality of safety. And what I found over the years, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is I found that I almost always, when something is morally safe, I become very uncomfortable about it. And I don't want to do whatever the morally safe thing to do. Another example, just to throw in, the one that I'm involved in with most professionally, is anything in the name of, quote, climate change. So anything where you're opposing fossil fuels, that's like an automatic ticket to virtue. You know, that's a morally safe thing to do in our culture. So I've thought about, well, what makes me so uncomfortable about this? And I think it's two things. So the first is that most issues in life are not obvious. They're hard to think through. And when there are different sides, there's usually something to either side. Even if I think one side is ultimately right and even totally right, it's not always obvious in terms of, like, it's not like everyone who could believe the opposite is an idiot. So you just take something like this election. And I'm in different, it's interesting because I'm in different communities of people where for some people, you would be like, it's unbelievable that you could even consider not voting for Biden-Harris. And then in other communities I'm in, it's considered insane that you could not vote for Trump, given the like socialism and statism and concerns about like law enforcement even functioning that might come with Biden-Harris. On the other side, it's, well, look, is this, you know, concerns about, okay, well, we have a president that has an often tenuous relationship to reality. And, I mean, I think the country being very unprepared for the pandemic, real questions about how science is dealt with in the administration. So I don't want to lay out what I think the potential negatives are of both paths forward. I tend to think there are enormous potential negatives for both paths forward in terms of who's the next president. But the thing I would emphasize here is it's definitely not an obvious thing. There are real reasons why people could really not want Donald Trump to be president or want Donald Trump to be president given the alternatives. And when one is taking this moral safety standard, when one is acting out of moral safety, one is usually ignoring the difficulty of thinking these things through. And so it's a similar thing with the death of George Floyd and the Black Squares. So there's a question of what to do about that situation. I did a podcast on this, but how to understand that, what to do, how, in so is there racism involved in this, even if there isn't, even if this isn't primarily an issue of racism, maybe it's an issue of police brutality, what is it an issue of? That's hard to figure out. But then even what do you do about race? Let's just even say you're focused on racism. Like, what do you do about racism in the culture? Is the Black Lives Matter movement, is that the most constructive way to deal with that? Is it even a constructive way given certain things that it's linked to? And what I want to just bring up is there are smart people who have different views on different aspects of it. So as soon as you get into like, oh, I posted a black square, I'm a good person, other people who don't do this, they're racists or they're not sufficiently anti-racist and I'm solving the problem and they're not, That is a dangerous place to be. I don't think it means that you're, I think it means you're not thinking through the issue seriously if it just feels like this safe, automatic thing. Certainly you can imagine with climate, if you know anything about my views, I don't think it's at all safe to say, oh, well, fossil fuels are impacting the climate, therefore fossil fuels are bad, therefore we shouldn't use fossil fuels. The whole question of, well, how significantly are they impacting the climate? And what are the benefits that go along with impacting the climate? And are those benefits really significant and more important than whatever the impacts on the climate are one way or the other? And I definitely think the benefits are more significant. Or with this, I mentioned this case in the jiu-jitsu community. I mean, why do we have people just taking these stands and assuming someone is guilty? Like, why do we have a court system if it's so easy to figure out what's true in legal cases? This happens. It's very hard to know what happens and what's, did a crime occur? What's responsible? You're accusing like a culture of responsibility for that. Like gathering that evidence, processing it in any kind of objective way is very hard. So the idea that, oh, it's easy to know that, oh, well, this instructor made possible this alleged rape by a student or like a sort of short-term student, that just, I mean, struck me at the time as, and I knew Lloyd Irvin, so, and I had a good relationship with him. So I was personally particularly, upset knowing him, but I see the same thing with people all the time where it's just this, there's just a popular thing that's the morally safe thing to do. And in reality, it's a very, it's often a complex issue and you can't know the thing as well as you think you know it. And certainly like the fact that the society is piling on something mindlessly, that almost certainly means that it's wrong in some way. Even if directionally something is right, it's wrong. And in this, just this specific case, what happened, I mean, this is a while back, but my recollection was like they didn't even, the students weren't even found guilty, let alone the teacher having anything to do with it. But it's just like, but when that happened, did people go back and say, oh, I'm really sorry I piled on? Maybe they did privately, but I think they just moved on to the next issue of moral safety. So one of these things, when it's this morally safe issue where it's an easy way to be seen by oneself or others as a good person, one big problem with this is just it does not acknowledge the complexity and difficulty involved in actually getting to the truth about something. The second aspect of what's very hazardous, at least, about these issues of moral safety is that it is incredibly easy to waste time and to really waste one's life on any of these issues where it seems like, oh, if I'm doing this, I'm a good person. So if we just take the issue of elections. Well, like how much time does it make sense? Sorry, I clapped my hands there. How much time does it make sense to spend on the presidential election just as an average private citizen, given what you can probably do about it? I don't think a huge amount of time. Now, I happen to be somebody who for a living is trying to change a certain part of the culture and political system in terms of how we think about energy and the associated environmental issues and what the policy is. But that's my actual job. So I'm getting paid in different forms to share my ideas about that and to try to influence those things. But in terms of like normal politics, I get involved a little bit, but it's pretty limited because there's a real question of why spend time on something? And I have a view, and people might disagree with it, but I don't think that people should spend their time thinking about how to change the world in general. I think that's very hazardous. I think of it as you should try to think of how to change your world, like how to make your life better, how to make the lives of the people you're associated with better. And then as part of that, if the broader world, if there's some way you can change that will change your world, then great. So it means like, okay, if there's anything I can do politically, if I think one candidate is way better than another, okay, let me see if I can do anything that will help. So for example, in California, I really think that the state is in a is in a really bad direction. I think our current governor is a menace, Gavin Newsom, and I would really like it if there were somebody good running for governor that got elected, and whether I can even stay in this state is at stake. So that's a big thing. I really care about where I live. I love California. I don't know of anything like California in general, Southern California in particular. So I'm really interested in somebody who could replace Gavin Newsom, and a guy who ran against him last time, who's a guy I'm a big fan of, Michael Schellenberger. Like, I would like him to run again, but he's more well known now, and I would like to do what I can to promote him. So I think about, okay, well, I happen to know a lot of successful people, so maybe I can, this is not anything he's agreed to or anyone's agreed to, by the way, I'm just, my thought process, okay, yeah, I can influence this, maybe I can do something to help. And so I'll do that. So I'll spend a little bit of time doing that. But that's, I'm trying to change the world in order to change my world. But it, that has to limit how much time I can spend on it, because I only have so much control over it. And I've got my own life to live. And I find that what happens with these morally safe causes is people can just inject an unlimited amount of time into them. And it's just, you only have so much time. And how much time just gets invested into talking about things, doing things, arguing about things that we have very little control over and that are not the biggest drivers of our lives. And I think this is, I mean, this is maybe even a more controversial view, but you have to think about when, you know, you think about even issues that are like really serious, like issues of racial justice, somebody fighting that, whatever your skin color is, like it can't be your, unless it's your job. Like if your whole life is focused on that, you're not going to do enough to build your own life, to change your own world. And that's one of the issues I have with some of the popular movements that often have to deal with justice is it's good in a certain, and I'll talk about this more in a second, but it's good. Like in general, you want to fight for the society to be more just. But I think the main reason is you actually want people to be living their lives and succeeding. That's why you want a just society. So it's a contradiction to say, I'm going to spend all my time thinking about justice, arguing about justice in the broader society, including where some situations is hard to make that much of a difference immediately, versus saying like, okay, my primary thing is I need to change my world. I need to make my life as good as possible. And part of that is I want to fight for a world that makes it as easy as possible for my life to go as well as possible and other people's lives to go as well as possible. But I see a lot of people who are just invested in these broader, morally safe causes and are not doing nearly enough to take care of their own lives. And I think that is a tragedy. And then when we move on, you know, people are moving on from one morally safe cause to another, then it's like, okay, what did you actually, how much was it worth it? I think that's a good question to ask. Like looking back, oh, all these arguments that I got into, like when I was involved in different things and arguing about politics and stuff, was this worth it? And I think one good question is like, am I trying to change the world or am I trying to change my world? I think the more we think about changing our world and then changing the world as maybe an aspect of that, the better. The third thing, the third hazard, I think, of morally safe things is that it's very easy to act on unhealthy motives in terms of pursuing moral safety. And I think this is particularly true where there are moral issues involving justice. It's justice is a very powerful thing in terms of right and wrong in the world, people being treated fairly, people being treated unfairly. And this is something that I might talk about more in the future, but I'll just give a quick summary of what I think is going on with justice. Just if you think about particularly public stands of justice. So if you're saying like, I'm fighting for justice for the good guys against the bad guys. So like I'm fighting for, so in my field, it's people say like, I'm fighting against the evil fossil fuel industry and I'm fighting for climate justice. Think about what that does for people psychologically to be fighting for justice or climate justice. Notice that when you're fighting for justice, two things happen. One is you get elevated and the other is other people get denigrated. So it becomes, there's a good side that I'm part of, and then there's a bad side that other people are part of. And when it's this morally safe thing, you can immediately become superior to others just by taking on whatever the safe justice cause is. And I think that's incredibly dangerous, because what happens is then it's very easy for people to take on these causes because they want to feel better about themselves. They want some shortcut to self-esteem, and or they want to feel better than others. And I just think that whenever we're thinking about particularly public stands in terms of justice, we really have to ask, what is this about? Is this about something like, hey, I want to say something because I think it's going to change my world in a better way? It's going to change my world for the better. Like, this is something that needs to be said. It's not about me being superior, other people being inferior. I just think this is something that needs to be said. That can definitely happen. But it can also definitely happen that we just say, like, oh, I'm like what you see with some of the issues of racial justice is people just adopt them very, they just adopt it like immediately. It just when it's an issue, it's the fashionable issue and you're into it. And I don't want to get into my own relationship with this, but I happen to have had an interest in these kinds of issues for a long time. And I've done certain things behind the scenes to push things and whatever I think I can do to push them in a bigger direction. But when the George Floyd thing happened, I didn't suddenly think, oh, now I need to say all these things, or now like this is my issue. I thought this is still a really important issue. Like, I'm doing what I can to improve it. I really need to think through what can actually improve it. But it can't be about my psychology. It can't be about, oh, I'm better than other people, and like this makes me better than other people. And I just want to emphasize this point that when we're fighting, anything that involves justice has this hazard of it makes us superior and it makes others inferior. So it's super easy to make public statements about justice and for them not to have a really healthy motivation. And I would just add one final thing. That this applies not just to kind of system issues like racism or, you know, climate or given political trend. It also applies to personal issues, and it applies to situations where somebody feels the need to condemn somebody or praise somebody personally to the culture. And it applies when they have the need to, when they do it privately, like when they spend a lot of time saying like, this person is bad, this person is good. And just to take the public one, you see this in a lot of contexts where people like, they'll say something to make somebody a hero or make somebody a villain. And in one of the other communities that I'm part of, the community of people interested in Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism, my basic view on this, there's a certain tendency historically for people to make public powerful public moral statements, often in the name of justice, about other individuals, positively and or negatively. So this person's a hero, this person's a villain, sometimes it's in the same thing. And I'm not saying it never makes sense to do that, but I'm saying it should be the first thing we should be asking ourselves, if we really feel the need to say publicly, like, this person's a hero, this person's a villain, I, Alex Epstein, am going to declare that, we really have to think some things through. And I would say the first thing is why am I doing this? And am I doing this in any way to feel better about myself, or to feel superior to somebody else? That has to be on the table. We have to be aware that that's a potential motive when we do these kinds of things. I would ask, how will this change my world for the better? Will it actually? Is this a good use of my time? And is this really going to improve my life to do this? And then, have I thought this through? And because there's so many psychological motives wound up, particularly in any kind of issue of justice, it's really hard to think through objectively. So that applies to everybody, but I'd particularly think this has come up recently, and I don't not I don't, my point is not to take, some people listening to this may see some recent things that are related to this, but my point is just not, my point is when we're dealing with these issues of moral safety, and in particular, when there are issues of public statements of justice, we have to be aware that there are extreme hazards involved in terms of things not being thought through, in terms of them wasting time, and in terms of them involving unhealthy psychological motives. So that doesn't mean I will never do something like that, but when I do it, I really want to think it through and really make sure I'm doing it for the right reasons. So that is why I am very, I think moral safety is dangerous. And one final perspective on this. In the way I think about morality, which is very influenced by Ayn Rand, I don't think there's ever any moral safety, because I think morality is really about following the principles that will improve your life. And it's ultimately about what is going to be a good life for you. And that's not something that is easy to think through. It's something that's very hard to think through. I was talking to one of my good friends today about just how easy it is for people to make decisions that cost them years and years of time, and how hard it is to value time. If you really just think about, like, you've got a life, you've only got so much time, you don't even know how much time you'll have. You have some influence over that. You don't have total influence over it at all. And really, morality is about, in my view, how do you make the best of your life? And that's something that's really hard to think through. And it's an intimidating thing to think through, because there are so many options and you can only live one life. And that's so much of the work of life, is figuring out what I'm going to do. And so there's nothing that I can do that's safe in the sense of, oh, if I just do this, I'm a good person and everything's okay. There's no like campaign I can join or cause it, like, because how is that actually me living my life effectively? Those things are usually side issues. I mean, if you want to make one of them your life's work, then that's a different kind of thing. But I just see so much time getting wasted because people are doing things that were taught, oh, as long as you're doing this, you're a good person. Like, it's morally safe. And I don't believe in that. I also don't believe in it, even as much as I value productive work. I don't believe there's moral safety in just, oh, I'm doing a lot of productive work, so that's okay, I can feel good about myself. Like, no, it's possible to be doing the wrong work. It's possible to be doing it badly. And it's certainly possible to be doing it to the exclusion of other values. There are certainly people who have families and relationships that they are not sufficiently taken care of because they just feel compelled to work all the time. I think a lot of workaholism is the person feels a kind of moral safety doing work. So it's morally dangerous in the sense that it's not easy to know what to do. It requires a lot of thought, it requires a lot of self-awareness. And just to be helpful with that, I'm trying to isolate this issue that whenever there's this appearance of moral safety, because it's not real moral safety, but whenever there's this illusion or lure of moral safety, that is something to be suspicious of, not something to be embraced. And the thing to do is just to do the work of thinking, what do I want my life to be? What principles am I going to live by? How do I change my world for the better? And to go forth and to do that. And that's hard. And it's dangerous in the sense that we're going to get a lot of things wrong along the way, but that's, in my view, what living is. And pursuing moral safety is not living. And that's why it's dangerous. All right, that is it for this week. Hope that was valuable to people. I hope that nobody focuses on what, you know, the specific positions on specific issues. I'm really trying to focus on the methodology for thinking through these things. And just with all the controversial issues I brought up, to just make the point, these are complex things. These are not easy things. and to make them to act like they're easy and to just do things, you know, take a stance because it feels morally safe to do so, that is dangerous. That is guaranteed to cause problems, to cause injustice, and if you spend a lot of time on it, to waste a lot of your time. All right, as usual, if you have any questions, comments, love mail, or hate mail, you can email me at alex@alexepstein.com. If you want to get new episodes of the show, or if you want to be notified about the next episode, go to humanflourishingproject.com. And if you want to discuss it on Facebook, go to facebook.com/humanflourishingproject. That's it for this week. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Alex Epstein. This has been the Human Flourishing Project.